Cynthia for a great message in song. Powerful. Take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 3. Begin looking at verse number 12 through 17. Colossians chapter 3. One of the greatest challenges we face, even as Christians, is to live a life of thankfulness every day of our lives, especially in the culture in which we're living in. Paul gives us some instructions as to how we can do just that. Listen to what he has to say. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Three times he talks about being thankful. If we're going to live a life of thankfulness, we need to have an attitude kind of like the evergreen trees. It's always green, no matter the change in the weather around it. It's green in the heat of summer as well as in the cold of winter. So our lives ought to be like that evergreen tree. We are to be characterized by an enduring thankfulness that is unaffected by the changes around us. I know that's a tall order, but that's the way we're to live as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. When the heat of a pressured week brought on many times by circumstances beyond our control, like this pandemic or a fragile economy or the deadly cold of some pain strikes us, we can stand evergreen, always thankful for the presence of God with us every day. I realize that's a very tall order. We're living in challenging times. I'm beginning to wonder if a lot of folks that we see weren't born in a negative frame of mind and have simply gotten worse day by day. I've never seen so many unhappy people in my life. I try to keep up with current events, but I must confess to you it's kind of difficult to watch news anymore. I spend more time watching Fox News, and get to the point where I can't even watch all of that all the time, because they begin to show some of the people from the other networks, most negative folk I've ever seen in my life. They're not happy about anything. Always complaining and finding fault about everything. And it's depressing. And so I have to turn it off. And Peggy sometimes I have to get up and leave. She likes it even less than I do. But it's just, it's a situation that we have to deal with. It seems so easy to me, for those of us who profess to believe in Christ, to forget that we're living in the power of the resurrection, and instead are like the little boy who had a part in a school play that read, "It is I, be not afraid." He came out on stage and said, "It's me and I'm scared." Sometimes that's the way we feel about life, don't it? We just get scared by everything we see going on around us, forgetting who we are and to whom we belong. There's a precious nugget of truth in verse 15 that has the answer to overcoming fear in life. Simply say three words, and be thankful. As Christians, we have more to be thankful for than anyone else on the face of God's creation. But when was the last time you took the time to express your thankfulness for your blessings instead of complaining about what you don't have? You may be thinking, "Preacher, what do we have to be thankful for in this crazy, mixed-up world that we're living in? When right seems to be always on the scaffold and wrong always on the throne, when right and wrong have been turned upside down in our culture, how can we be thankful?" There are three simple truths that will help us to live a life of thankfulness. First of all, we can be thankful for simple things. Simple things. What are simple things? The dictionary says that something simple is uncompounded, it's elementary, it's plain, and unadorned. The simple things are the things we tend to overlook or to which we grow accustomed to and take for granted. They're the things we see every day, yet they truly count. They're the most important, apparent things. Think about it. Everyday provisions of life. Are you thankful for family? Boy, I'm going to tell you what. Family is precious. We ought to be thankful for family. Sometimes we forget that. We ought to be thankful for food. We have an ample amount of food in this country. We ought to be thankful for it. What about water? Take water for granted. I never thought in my lifetime when I was growing up I'd ever be buying bottled water. But we do, don't we? We want pure water. It's precious, and we take it for granted. We dare not take it for granted. What about the sunshine and the rain? Both are so very important to life itself. What about the clothes we wear and the shelter we have in our homes? We're thankful for trees and flowers and birds singing. I remember when I first got my hearing aids, I had to get hearing aids. I walked out that next Sunday morning, we were on the way to church in Coates, and I said, "Boy, the birds you are singing pretty today." Peggy said, "They've always been singing, you just didn't hear them." I'm grateful for birds singing. I can hear them now with hearing aids. Grateful for that. Things we take for granted that are so precious and so wonderful. What about these individuals that are so precious to us that we take for granted? Healthcare workers, law enforcement, first responders, firemen, things we take all too for granted that we expect to always be there to minister to our needs. I'm thankful that Peg and I were not hurt in an accident earlier this year. I'm thankful that I went home, went away one day from the house and left the garage door open all day long and nothing was taken. So I'm thankful for that kind of community that we live in. I'm thankful for electricity. We take it for granted, don't we? We just automatically flip a switch and think nothing about it, but where would we be without it? Think about that. I'm thankful for indoor plumbing. Now, I'm going to date myself and tell you my age. I didn't grow up with indoor plumbing, folks, and you young people need to be thankful for indoor plumbing. We had a well out the back of our house, had to go draw water, and so far as the bathroom facility, it was a little house out in the edge of the woods where a hole had been dug by my daddy. That was the outhouse, and boy, you didn't spend a lot of time there in the wintertime back in Person County because it was cold. So I'm thankful for indoor plumbing. We take it for granted, don't we? That it's just going to be there. So many things we need to be thankful for. I'm thankful for every uneventful day, for peaceful moments, for the pleasant, balmy springtime, for warm summer days, and even for dark and dreary fall days sometimes. I'm especially thankful, and Peg has helped me to see the beauty of this beautiful sunrise or beautiful sunset. We take it for granted. Simple things that bless our lives. I'm thankful for tears that are now forgotten. Thankful for peace within my soul, peace with God and the peace of the Lord. I'm thankful for pain and for pleasure, for comfort and in despair. The list could go on and on. I'm thankful for a smile that's given to me that I see on people's faces. I'm thankful for a handshake, for a word of encouragement. The list could go on and on. You could add a lot to it and take when you take the time to think about it. Thankful for simple things. These are simple things that we tend to overlook that are so valuable in adding meaningful meaning to our lives and joy and happiness to us that we tend to overlook. Thankfulness. They are the bread kind of things. You remember Jesus in Matthew 15:36 gave thanks for bread. He had fed the 5,000 when he took the loaves and fish from the little boy. What did he do? Lifted them up and gave thanks and broke them and fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. We're thankful for the necessary provisions of life itself that we tend to overlook and take for granted. Simple things like bread. Thankful for simple things. that add so much joy and so much comfort and yet give strength to our very lives. Well, I'm going to change gears a little bit. Not only should we be thankful for simple things, we can be thankful even for suffering. We're not immune from suffering. It touches every life at some time. Even today, as you check out the news, you will hear of a death somewhere, a fire at someone's house, or a death-dealing storm, or a tragedy taking many lives. How in the world do we respond to suffering with thanksgiving? How can we do that? Jesus set the example for every one of us. The Bible says in Matthew 26 and 27, he took the cup and gave thanks. We know the cup he was talking about. He thanked the Heavenly Father for the cup of his suffering, for the offering of his body in death and the pouring out of his blood in sacrifice. In other words, he thanked the Father for his suffering, crucifixion, and death. He knew the reason for his suffering. He knew the outcome. There would be victory afforded to you and me over death, hell, and the grave, and an eternal home in heaven. So he endured the pain, despising the shame. The Bible says, sat down at the right hand of God the Father. He gave thanks for his suffering, giving you and me an example of how we to deal with suffering. We need to understand the reason for suffering. You see, suffering can do several things in our lives as believers. First of all, it can, Bible calls it burning out the dross, those bad things in us, purify us and lead us to a greater holiness of life. Help get rid of those things that ought not to be there to start with and make us a better person. It can also burn in the promises of God and lead you and me to a closer dependence on God and his faithful promises to us. Burn suffering will, but look also at the burning, what the burning is for. Romans 8:28, we're so familiar with it. We know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God is not saying that suffering is good, but he's saying this. If we will turn that suffering over to the Lord himself, he can even take suffering and get good out of it. How does he do that? Because he reminds us he's always there to walk with us no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through. God has promised never to fail us nor forsake us, and that his grace is always more than enough. It will sustain us and help us. I don't want to see how in the world some folks get through life without God on their side and God in their hearts when they deal with the tragedies that come. I've seen too much of it. And seeing the tragedy of a person who doesn't know how to call upon God and cannot experience his abiding presence with them in a time of difficulty, a time of sadness, suffering. The story is told about a little boy whose legs were not developing as they ought. So the pediatrician told his parents that their son needed to wear a leg brace, which would help to position the legs and feet to grow properly. The parents wanted to do the right thing for their son, but were miserable following the doctor's orders. You see, the bar held the little boy's legs and feet completely straight and unbendable. Every night when his parents would put the brace on and put him to bed, he would cry out of discomfort and his dislike of what was taking place. It hurt. The little boy was sure that to have felt hurt that his parents would treat him wrongly and possibly even doubted their love for him because of the pain he was experiencing with the straightening of his legs. The mother was at times tempted to take the bar off, but resisted because she felt in her heart she was doing the right thing for her son. As difficult as this time was, the doctor, the mother, and the father did what they did because of their concern and their thought for the future well-being of that little boy in the years to come. They were willing to sacrifice convenience now for a better life later. Listen, God cares for you and me as his children. Right now, he might use means of restraint and discomfort to achieve his desired result in your life and my life. But we must never forget, he operates out of love that he has for you and me. We must never forget that. But how do we respond to it? We may not always understand the why. Must never forget, God cares and God loves us. But how do we respond to suffering? All too often, our way is to complain about the hard things in life. Sometimes the will of God may lead to hardships. It takes love and surrender to say to him, thy will be done. It takes drawing a bigger circle around life and its circumstances to give Him thanks. Someone wrote a poem, you've probably heard it before, called The Weaver. It goes like this. My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors. He worketh steadily. Oft times He weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride. Forget He sees the upper, and I the underside. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern He has planned. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttle ceases to fly shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. Folks, we can just trust God. Even though we are walking through sometimes a dark valley of despair, facing the death of a loved one, or the loss of a job, or some tragic circumstance in our lives, and we wonder, God, where are you? He's always where He's always been. He's always there to walk with us if we'll trust in Him. Listen to what Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19, and chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. He says, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rest on you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or thief or evildoer or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? Therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God shall endure, entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Then he says in chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, Therefore, since all these things are true, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Never forget, whatever you're going through, God knows, God cares, God loves you. We are never to be astonished about the fiery trials we may face. Suffering is the inevitable consequence of following Christ many times, but we need to understand that this suffering results in a child of God becoming a partaker of Christ's sufferings. By suffering with Christ, believers may also anticipate the future, and we shall be made glad with Him. Suffering can bring glory to God and a unique joy to the Christian because the Spirit of God rests upon the believer in a special way. That's why we can be thankful for suffering, because we depend upon God. It's painful. It hurts. When our youngest son was in that serious automobile accident back in 1991, he was in a coma for 4 days. That was difficult to deal with for Peggy and myself. When he finally came out of that, and he was in rehab for so long, he lost 2 years of his memory. He had a closed head injury. And it was difficult to watch him do things. They failed to watch him at Wake Medical, transferred him from Greenville, the hospital trauma unit there, to the Wake Med where Peggy was working. And I went to check on him one day. He was in the rehab center. And I went to his room, and he wasn't there. And I went to ask the nurse. She said, he's in the room. I said, no, he's not. They couldn't find him anywhere. Everybody panicked, and they even called the police. He had walked out, didn't know where he was, his memory was all messed up, and I started driving around the hospital. I found him about a block and a half away walking down the street. Brings pain to your heart to see a son who at one time, his memory was fine, was now less than it should be. And when I took him out to eat on one occasion, when I took him out, I sat down and I ordered a meal. He ordered the exact same thing I did. That was a point in time when he was in the hospital in Greenville when Peg and I went to see him when The nurse asked him, "Who are these folks?" He said, "My aunt and uncle." He had a hard time getting his memory together. Well, his pain in life didn't end there. He finally got married to a young lady who was in a wheelchair. They had a son who's now, is it 14, 15 years old, teenager. He almost died when they got him home from the hospital. Spent 3 weeks in Chapel Hill. And I'll never forget going up there and seeing that little infant baby. IVs everywhere, even in his head, because they didn't have room to put him elsewhere. His oxygen had dropped down to 50. And the pediatrician, the head pediatrician at UNC Chapel Hill Hospital, finally, they did all kinds of research to find out what caused his problem. And she came to the conclusion, she says, "I know it's controversial, but I think that he's one of the children where this combination of all the shots being done at one time has affected him. The effect it's had, he now is autistic and he has seizures. And they've tried every kind of medication." I've been there, Peg and I have. When he has a seizure, it breaks your heart to see a child suffer like that. You want so bad to see something better. But one thing I know, God is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. And there's coming a day when little Stephen will be whole again, whether it's in this life or in the next, because God is still in control. And I'm grateful for our son, who always enjoyed being outside, but he's had to give all that up, stay at home to take care of Stephen, because his wife, being in a wheelchair, she cannot handle him when he has a seizure. So I admire him for he doesn't have much, but they're happy, and most people have got millions. They're happy together. And he is committed to taking care of his family. But when you see that kind of suffering, folks, it hurts. It's painful. It's difficult. And only God's grace can sustain you. And you know that he's still in control, and that he is present, and he helps in times such as this. We can be thankful even for suffering, because we know without the presence of Almighty God, we just could not make it. That's something else we can be thankful for. We can be thankful not just for simple things and for suffering. We ought to be thankful for spiritual things as well. Spiritual things. You see, we are so rich, not necessarily in material things, but in spiritual. So let's be thankful for these riches. We can be thankful for salvation. Think about it. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I, if we are born again, have experienced spiritual deliverance. Our past has been redeemed. Our presence has been made abundant and full and sure and hopeful. Day by day as we walk with the Lord, and our future is absolutely secure in Christ Jesus the Lord. Because the Bible says there's absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God as revealed in Christ Jesus the Lord. Because there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we can sing, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed by His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Think about that. We belong to Him. No matter what happens to us down here, we are safe in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. And one day, that same Jesus who saved our soul at Calvary's cross, rose from the dead, third day, ascended back to the right hand of God the Father, He's coming to call you and me home to spend eternity with Him in a wonderful place called heaven. He said, "Be of good cheer. In the world you may have tribulation, but I've overcome the world." We're going to be with Him. Well, there's no pain, no sorrow, no suffering, but all will be joy and peace forevermore with the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be thankful for our salvation. Are you thankful that you are saved? We can be thankful for Christian fellowship. In Philippians 1:3, the Apostle Paul declared, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." Do you realize the importance of fellowship? Just being together, a gathering like this. I'm told that during World War II, the enemy conducted experiments to find the most effective type of punishment for eliciting information from prisoners. They found that solitary confinement was the most effective. After a few days of solitary confinement, most men would break and would tell all. That's why we need fellowship. Without it, we too will become easy prey for temptation and the abandonment of our values as believers. Our commitment will be compromised if we neglect our fellowship, become less of what God wants and expects of you and me, and we'll lose the joy of our salvation. That's why our fellowship is so important. It's been well said that the best thing we do as Christians is worship. The best thing we have is fellowship. Nothing more wonderful than the fellowship of God's people together. No matter where you go, whatever church you go to, that's a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church, when you get together, what happens? You automatically feel a relationship with them because we're all one in Christ Jesus the Lord, and you experience that wonderful fellowship. Been in large churches, been in small churches, middle-sized churches, and experience the same thing. Wonderful fellowship. There's nothing like it. Fellowship with one another in God's love. We can be thankful also for a dynamic Christian faith. Romans 1:8 declares, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." He's talking about a witnessing faith. A church that has a witnessing faith with believers not only have a witnessing faith, when they have a witnessing faith, they have a victorious faith. This witnessing, sharing the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, just does something for you, encourages you, and strengthens you in the faith. There's an old legend about three men and their sacks. Each man had two sacks, one tied in front of his neck, the other tied on his back. When the first man was asked what was in his sacks, he said this, "In the sack of my back are all the good things friends and family have done. That way they are hidden from view. In the front sack are all the bad things that have happened to me. Every now and then I stop, open the front sack, take things out, examine them, and think about them." Because he stopped so much to concentrate on all the bad stuff, he really didn't make much progress in life. Second man was asked about his sacks. He replied, "In the front sack is all the good things I've done. I like to see them, so quite often I take them out to show them off to people. The sack in the back, I keep all my mistakes in there and carry them all the time. Sure, they are heavy. They slow me down, but you know, for some reason, I just can't put them down." When the third man was asked about his sacks, he answered like this, "Sack in front is great. There I keep all the positive thoughts I have about people, all the blessings I've experienced, all the great things other people have done for me. The weight isn't a problem. The sack is like sails of a ship. It keeps me going forward. The sack on my back is empty. There's nothing in it. I cut a big hole in its bottom. In there I put all the bad things I can think about myself or hear about others. They go in one end and out the other, so I'm not carrying around any extra weight at all." Think about it. What are you carrying in your sacks? You got a sack on your back or in the front? Which one are you most thankful for? Is your sack filled with the blessing of a dynamic faith in God? It should be a faith that is steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain, and that you are experiencing daily the joy of serving Jesus, being thankful for the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God that empowers you and equips you and encourages you daily. Ruth Morgan wrote a poem that we might need to listen to pretty often. It's called "By Faith and Not Sight." She writes this, "Sometimes I'm sad, I know not why, my heart is so distressed. It seems the burdens of this world have settled on my heart, and yet I know that God, who doeth all things right, will lead me to understand, to walk by faith, not sight. And though I may not see the way he's planned for me to go, the way seems dark to me just now, but oh, I'm sure he knows. Today he guides my feeble step, tomorrow in his right. He has asked me never to fear, but to walk by faith, not sight. Someday the mist will roll away. The sun will shine again. I'll see the beauty in the flowers. I'll hear the birds refrain. And then I'll know my Father's hand has led the way to light, because I place my hand in His and walk by faith, not sight. If you want to have a dynamic faith, you're going to have to walk by faith in this world in which we're living in today. Faith in the Lord Jesus and trust Him on a daily basis. And then another spiritual thing we can be thankful for is answer to prayer. Folks, the pages of the Bible and the pages of history are filled with reports of answered prayer. In John chapter 11, 41 through 42, Jesus said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me." Listen. We're heirs of God, joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And God heard Jesus because we belong to Him. He hears you and me as well. He hears our prayers. And He answers according to His will. We pray because God commands us to pray, and because prayer is a God-appointed means for a believer to receive what God wants to give us. Prayer keeps a Christian in the will of God, and living in the will of God keeps a Christian in the place of blessing and service. You see, we're not beggars, we are children coming to a wealthy Father who loves to give His children what they need. Though He was God in human flesh, Jesus in His humanity depended on prayer. He lived on earth, as you and I must, in dependence on the Father. Mark 1:35 tells us He arose early in the morning to pray, even though He had been up late that night before healing the multitudes. He sometimes spent all night in prayer, according to Luke 6:12. In the Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed with strong crying and tears, according to Hebrews 5:7. On the cross, He prayed three times. Listen, if the sinless Son of God needed to pray, how much more do you and I? Just as God the Father heard Jesus and answered His prayers, folks, He also hears us. Sometimes we want it instantly, but sometimes God says, just wait. He wants to see if we are really sincere in our praying. The most important thing about prayer also is the will of God. Sometimes He won't answer until He knows that we're really ready to receive the prayer and do what He wills you and me to do. But we just need to take time to find out what His will is by searching in the Bible for promises or principles to apply to our situation. Once we know the will of God, we can pray with confidence, then wait for Him to reveal the answer. Folks, what a privilege we have to be thankful for the simple things. Simple things that we take for granted that are such a blessing in our lives. Even thankful for suffering and certainly for spiritual things like salvation, Christian fellowship, dynamic Christian faith, and for answers to prayer. We need to exercise the privilege of being thankful every day and not just a day set aside we call Thanksgiving Day. We need to be reminded to be thankful, but thankfulness ought to be a part of our lifestyle on a daily basis. You see, living a thankful life is how God's peace can rule in our hearts and how our Christian life can be fully lived. Being thankful for God and who He is, for all He has done, all He is doing, and all He's going to do. We can be thankful. Show you are thankful by responding to God's amazing love. Have you responded to that love? God so loved you and me that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you received that great gift of love? That's the beginning of living a life of thankfulness, is responding to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you respond to that love today and then begin to live a life of true thankfulness? Thankful for the simple things. Yes, thankful for some of those suffering times, difficult days. And thankful for the spiritual blessings He gives to us. Are you a thankful Christian? If you're not, you need to be. And maybe you just need to come to this altar and get on your face before God and say, "Lord, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for making me whole. Thank you for giving to me your full salvation so rich and free." And thank Him, maybe for a spouse. Thank you for family. Thank you for your church family. Thank you all that you want to do in my life. that I fail to give you thanks for. Would you come as we stand and sing a hymn of decision, 582. Thank you, Lord.